The Digital Head Voice podcast is brought to you by MedTech World in collaboration with Digital Health Malta. Number 20, yes! This is such a great milestone for our team. We've reached our 20th episode podcast, or rather I should say, podcast episode. And best of all, we don't do just podcast, but we also do video interviews. So sometimes it's like double trouble. And with trouble, I would say something really pops to mind, and that's mental health. Because in reality, after the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic, now we're facing an increased challenge of mental health and the disease burden behind mental health. And I took the opportunity today to invite Terry Wu, who is the CEO and founder of Bien-être World, which is a digital health intervention focused on mental health, especially in the corporate world. And with that in mind, let's dive deep into the interview. Hello, Terry! What's
Hi,
up?
Stefan. Hey, I'm good. I'm in
You're good?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm still remembering, Terry, the conversations that we had in Malta. You really intrigued me as a character, I have to admit.
Thank you.
And I think that kind of character and that kind of drive that you have really is what we really need in digital health. Like the drive, the passion to really help people achieve better health outcomes, because through digital health there is that interesting possibility.
Exactly.
And you know, I know that you are the founder of Bien-être World. Bien-être. I love the like Bien-être, and it was interesting that I was lucky enough to know a little bit of French, because I studied French in the secondary school here in Malta for 5 years. I don't know how I managed to get through, but maybe that's because I kind of discovered after like finishing my school that I love languages.
That's great.
And I was reminded that thanks to my wife, who is Polish, so I got to learn a couple of Polish words there. But the story really, today's podcast is really about you, Terry.
Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you one simple question, Terry.
Yes.
Like, what's your digital health journey? What brought you here with us today? Because I mean, like, if you have a quick look at your LinkedIn profile, you know, you were in investment and now you're in digital health. Like, what happened? Like, how did you make this really big change in your life?
So, like a lot of us, we have a lot of big changes in our own lives. The first part of my career, I spent more than 20 years in investments, coming from Hong Kong. And I actually lived in the banking industry, seeing a lot of my friends and colleagues many years struggling with their mental well-being and the mental health. So it's firsthand. And actually, 2 years ago, my family moved to France. And three, four years ago, I went back to university and studied psychology purely out of passion and interest. Most of the people probably would go for EMBA course, try to change job or make more money. At that juncture in my life, I decided to do something I really care about. So searching more for meaning and passion and bringing value to the society. So this is more altruistic, the reason. And it's also got to do the stage in my life.
Wow, Terry, I mean, it's you've got quite a story there, you know, and you mentioned something like even like this mental well-being. And even you mentioned this aspect of falling ill because of your work, you know, because of the stresses of your work, or, you know, being like, and but tell me, like, I'd love to hear more, like, How did you make the app work? Because I know you have this lovely app, and you have the app which is for the for the mental health professionals, and the app which is for the individuals, the clients. Like, yeah. How do you make it work? Like, have you seen it? Like, have you started like seeing outcomes from all of this happening? Like, how is it going? Like, tell us. Like, how is your story going there?
The story, the key thing is where I come from the banking in the Hong Kong, very high pressure environment, seeing people that are not well. So I decided to help the employees of corporations. So when you talk about mental health, there are different segments. There are the older people, the young up and coming students. We all need mental health. So I decided to focus in the corporate world. Very high pressure, what we say, human capital heavy industries like banking, finance, investments, accounting, legal fields. So that's my initial focus to help these people. And there's also the ESG angle that I'd like the whole dynamic that not only focusing on the individual, but the relationship between the employer and the employees has to change.
And okay, like Terry, yeah. Like ESG, what does it stand for our audience who might not be so familiar with the term? What
does it stand for? Environment, social, and governance. So This is, a new generation. When we look at companies, we don't just look at shareholder values and revenues and profits. We want to do more to the society. And within the company itself, I want to increase the level of the S, the social side, that employers should be responsible for the mental health of the employees. So it's brought about by COVID. Also, there is a lot. I mean, 1 year on after I started the app, now we see a lot of people every day talking about mental health. But to reiterate, I specialize and focus in the business field.
Wow. I mean, I can imagine a future possibly where when you invest in a company and you see the stock of that company,
yes,
most of it, there might be an even special index, which is like the ESG index. It's already there.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I used to be a fund manager. Now that's one of the metrics that people look at. And I'm not sure if you know about B Corp.
B Corp. Yeah, I heard about B Corp, but you know, these terms, I have to learn much more about them.
Yes,
so you have to teach
outside
me.
Outside of the medical field, since you're So B Corp is related to ESG about climate change, companies that are focused on promoting ESG or recycling goods or even not to produce too many stock.
Okay.
If it's not needed. Yes. So we are not yet B Corp yet, but the idea is there. So to bring more value to the society. Yeah,
wow,
and doing the right thing, yes.
Wow, like Terry, I mean, it's quite interesting. And just about like a week ago, I was in Andorra, actually, where I was attending a conference on planetary health. Planetary health, you know?
Wow.
And I think we're seeing a future, and I'm sure that MetaQuerd, you know, will be discussing this and all of like all these different, you know, links beyond us now. No, not just like healthcare, not like the hospital environment, not just the community, but beyond us, like looking beyond, like and seeing how can the environment around us, you know, affect the way we take care of our health. You know, how can it this change? And how can digital health play an incredibly important role in this? In fact, like last week, where I was even looking into how you can use an app, for example, to save carbon dioxide emissions.
Yeah,
just because you use digital health app, you don't use a car, and poof, you have reduction in emissions just because you decided instead to do a virtual call. You know, like I have to calculate how many carbon dioxide emissions this podcast saved, because you know, like a flight from Paris to Malta. So definitely a lot to learn. But Terry, back to mental health now.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, so how do you make the app work for the organizations that you work with? Like, what do you offer them to make, like, what compelling reason do you offer to these companies to start using your app? Like, how do you bring them to your side? And what's the experience so far? Did you get any feedback from the patients? Yeah, like, tell me about the stories you've heard.
So what we want to bring is value that, like I said, to turn the tables, that the employer are not there to undermine the health or to overwork the employees, but to be actually the nice cop to provide this. So I'm actually selling to the employers, to the organization. They 100% pay for it, for the employees to use it. Now, there are traditional hotlines that are taking care of mental health too late. Normally it's almost like anti-suicidal. And in Asia, where I'm promoting it, the culture is also not to talk about mental health until it's too late. So I'm big on prevention, preventative actions. So through the app, basically I'm democratizing mental health therapy, which is a Western concept. So I'm trying to change behavior, both from the employer, how they treat the employee, so that the employee will be a better performer and it will save. There are lots of studies that says the return on the investment, ROI, for every dollar spent on mental health programs will save employers $4 to $5 of short and long-term disability. So that includes absenteeism and presenteeism. So I'm basically popularizing Western psychology therapeutics through an app so that it's easy to access, it's less scary, it's in everyone's pocket. You don't have to wait till too late, like you're super depressed or suicidal, to seek help.
You've really struck me there, you know, until it is too late. We're really like, I think we have a lot of this. I think it's improving a lot. I mean, in Malta, like, especially during the pandemic, we've seen some really interesting developments. We've seen a couple of chatbots come to play. There's the Richmond Foundation. They also came with their helpline, but they also came with their chatbot. So there was a lot of support coming from all these different organizations. And when you look back and see all that has been developed, like, it's like the apps and the digital health solutions that guys like you offer, yes, you know, like companies like yours offer, they're fresh of breath air and they're very welcome in this era, like, where most probably now after COVID, one of the biggest disease burdens that we will be facing is chronic disease burden, for sure. But even more than that is the mental health burden.
Exactly. Like,
so we really need to be ready on all levels. So the way you kind of explained how you focused like on this specific group of people, which is a high stress environment, mind you.
Yes.
I could even see, you know, mental health apps focused on healthcare workers.
Yes. You know? That's a good area too.
That's something to think about, actually. Or police. Whoa. Yes. I mean, imagine. And even like, if, for example, like, even like enforcement officials, you know, they go through really stressful,
exactly,
to very, very stressful situations.
Yes.
And imagine having, for example, experts in this kind of challenges, like experts in these kind of, for example, post-traumatic stress disorder, and focused and having digital health interventions directly for these kind of officials. But let's take it a step further now, Terry. How do you see bien-être world, you know, fitting into the future of digital health and medtech? You've mentioned so many cool things about this ESG index, you know, like even this corporate governance and focus. But like, how do you see it now? Like, what's the next, how do the next 5 years look for bien-être world? Like, are you looking into expanding into different markets? How it's going to work? Like, maybe some insights you can give us?
Sure. It's definitely going to grow. There are estimates it will grow at 20% per year. But I think different regions have different hurdles. And the fact that I choose to implement it in Asia, which for mental health is the most, in fact, it's the least accepted. So culturally, it's the most difficult. So I need to break down cultural barriers. And it's not just about number of users, it's about how we can make people be less self-stigmatized and to bring down this taboo. Already, COVID is helping, so more people are talking about it. A lot more people need it, but they are still not raising their hand to seek help. So the next 5 years, a lot has to do with education, promoting it in different environments. I'll start off in the corporate world. Maybe then there are different segments, like I mentioned, you know, in schools, you know, in older people. A lot of them are facing mental health issues. So there are a lot to be done. And country by country, the acceptance of talking about, even admitting about mental health and looking at it with the positive. Now we talk about mental wellness, not illness. The fact of this change in thinking, it's taking time and it's important to be very localized. So we are big on recruiting mental health practitioners around the world. So like you and me, we speak English, but when you go and see your own psychologist, you would like to speak in your mother tongue. So yes, so this is something we are really big on. We, in our triage, if you come to our app, you can choose either the practitioner by gender or by the languages. That's the first thing you choose. Instead of, I have a sleep problem, I need a sleep specialist. In fact, you open up much better when you speak your mother tongue.
I haven't thought about this, like how language plays such an important role. And it reminds me of someone special who, when this person wanted to seek help, this person gravitated towards someone who speaks the same language.
Exactly.
Without wanting to, and I was really struck at that moment, because the specialist was available, the specialist was available, but they weren't speaking the same language as this person.
Yes.
And it just struck me so much, that until this other person arrived who spoke the same language as this person, it was then that real change happened. So making this available through a digital way gives another avenue, at least, or another opportunity for that person to seek care.
Exactly.
Which is really fascinating. And I mean, wow. I mean, I'm so happy that this episode, especially this episode number 20, Terry.
Yes.
Number 20. So it's like a new milestone for our team and everyone who works here on our podcast. So really, really happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And
just to give you an example.
Yeah, tell me.
I want to speak about India and China, which are very big markets, very resistant to mental health. Okay. So about a third of our practitioners are Asians. Okay. And just the Indian language, we cover 5 languages and dialects. So imagine it's not that easy. I mean, in the mental health world, a lot has been done in the English language, but and also our Indian practitioners, actually most of them are not based in India. So this is something I'm looking into. There's the supply and the demand, okay? India and China are not traditionally producing a lot of psychologists. Countries like the more westernized, like USA or Switzerland, the university produces a lot of psychologists. So I need to find those that speaks the language that I may not be able to find in India. So that is a trick. That is a trick, yes. And to bring the service to the Indians who wants to use it. And they may also not be in India. Yeah.
That's another golden nugget of wisdom there, Terry. I have to admit, because I like the availability, and I'm actually curious to see now. I'll go and check some stats definitely about India and China and how many psychiatrists and how many psychologists and how many, mental health professionals they produce. Quite
I can
interesting, I
tell you
have to
it's
admit.
very few. I actually have the WHO World Health Organization figures. They recommended pre-COVID each country per 100,000 population to have at least 20 psychologists or psychiatrists. Now, because we are offering therapy, so we exclude psychiatrists. We do not believe in medication. This is our theory to have online consultation. So for India and China, the figure China is less than 3.8 per 100,000 population when you need 20. And Western countries like England, they have just barely 18, 19, just barely enough. And India is some crazy figure like 0.03. So there's a huge, huge mismatch. And then there's affordability because it is something that is, it takes many years to study and to practice. So it cannot be easily offered very cheaply. So you see a lot of apps, that's why using chatbots. So this is a big debate whether you can replace it with chatbots. The short answer is no. For a very well-qualified psychologist, because we're talking about human psyche. It's not like a banking transaction or e-commerce transaction where you can put up a chatbot and pre-program the answers. And I've been speaking to a few professors around the world that specialize in artificial intelligence, whether it could be used, with a lot of questionnaires and triage and chat. So I know some of my competitors do use the chat's keywords to analyze using AI. And actually, quoting these professors, they do not think it could be done, okay, in theory, but it's not effective as a human. So this is one of the few industries that could not easily be replaced. We are using technology to enhance. To democratize, like I said, to make it easier to access, but to completely replace it, it's another thing.
It would be interesting to see if realistic avatars empowered by artificial intelligence might have a role there. We'll have to see that because that's another dimension altogether, but it's possible. So it would be really interesting because if there's such, because really and truly, Terry, the health workforce gap has always been there.
Yes.
And most probably, the more our population grows, like the more like the worldwide population, the more the gap will grow. And unless there are scalable digital health interventions which gr address these gaps, these health workforce gaps. So like you really, now we're going from mental health, we're going to health workforce. Like quite interesting, I have to say, where this discussion is going. We're gonna need scalable digital health interventions. And it's only thanks to conversations like this one that we're having right now that we kind of start realizing possibly what are the solutions and how we can scale up. So how can we scale up human efforts, And I'm really curious to see how the future will evolve, how research will evolve, how we'll get there. And
I think
believe
we're
it.
not there yet. So
We're not there yet. We have a lot of work to
no,
do,
we're
huh?
not there yet. So we're talking about using AR, AI, or virtual reality so that you can go and have a flight or go somewhere instead of being locked up in your office. But today there are two main types of mental health apps. One type is the wellness type, and I'm doing the therapy clinical type. So I provide well-qualified psychologists and giving it to corporate workers. Now, the wellness type is much more scalable because you can imagine it's very popular. There are a few American apps that have mindfulness, or they put the whole cognitive behavior therapy workshop, 6 weeks course on an app. And it's a self-help, self-service thing. Now, it's I maybe I'm because I studied psychology, I'm more careful. Most of those are launched by non-psychologists because it seems to make sense and it's very scalable. But it's very risky when people self-diagnose, as you know, you're a doctor, right? And try to self-help or self-medicate. It is a very touchy subject.
Believe it or not, Terry, we've come nearly to the end, but before going there, you were in Malta for MetaQuery 2021,
That's right.
and you even had the opportunity to pitch your startup there.
Yes, I
And that
did.
was so cool to see you there on stage. And what was your experience of MetaQuery? Were you happy? Did you make what can we learn thanks to your experience? Were you happy? Tell us, share it all here.
It was a very amazing experience. MedTech World, I would say 2021 was very well run, thanks to your team. All the preparation, and not just during the conference, but afterwards, all the promotion, a video was made for all the top 10 who pitched on stage. I'm very impressed. And the quality of the other peers who were invited are good. It's quite different, I must say, from all the investment conferences I've been to. But it will be good to see more potential investors in this year's Malta
Okay,
conference.
cool,
Yes.
cool.
Yes.
Wow. Will we see you in Malta this year? Yes, no?
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully,
Yes,
yes.
all right. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Terry. And with that in mind, I have one important minute for you. And in this minute, you have the opportunity, Terry, to
Yes.
raise awareness on any specific topic of your choice. It could be a charity, it could be fashion, it could be, it could be about your country, your favorite country. But you have 1 minute. The floor is yours. Tell us.
Okay. Of course, there's going to be mental health, but the key thing is seeking help, especially alpha type. And there's a lot of studies that men are more reluctant to seek help. Do not be shy to raise your hand. Do not wait till it's too late. Do go and seek help regularly, like going to the gym. Do not put it aside and ignore your mental health. And look out for signs of people around you and suggest that they should also go and seek help and raise a hand. And that's my message.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
I raise your hand. I'm definitely going to remember that, raise your hand and raise it high and ask for help. And with that in mind, I thank you, Terry, and I'm going to take the opportunity to invite our audience to listen to us on all the different podcast channels. Share the word about the Digital Health Voice podcast. And guess what? We're not just a podcast, but we're also a video interview. So you can follow our video interviews on YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So it's not just, So you can see us there. And you also have the podcast and you can find us anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you would like. And with that in mind, thank you,
Thank
Terry,
you. And
and
please send me the link. And thank you for
I
having me,
will.
Stefan.
I will. Yes, I will. And as they say in Maltese, Saha.
Saha. Take care.
Saha.